Oh, good afternoon. Thank you for dialing in. It's a good day to pray. It really is a very important day for us to pray. And I was listening to the news report of Mary Graham talking about all the exorcists that are now convening. This is a time of year, a season when occult activity is really high. So I want to pray the chaplain in particular for those who are dabbling in the occult and those who unknowingly may open doors or portals for demonic oppression or, you know, possession. Who knows where it'll lead. But let's pray for them. Let's pray for the end of COVID, too. I want to talk about that coming up in a little bit here, too. And I want to pray for those who are away from the faith. And the reason I want to do that, I just saw a date that struck me. The Reformation. I don't know if you're familiar with the date of that. It's usually dated, believe it or not, to October 31st, 1517. And then we know this Sunday we'll be celebrating Halloween. So the anniversary of the Reformation, the 13th of October, 1517. You remember what Luther did on the Wittenberg church doors there? He sent those 95 theses on. And we have to we have to pray for our church, that there's unity in it. We have to pray that Catholics will truly live their faith, truly respect the Eucharist, truly respect life. And we'll pray for our world leaders and, of course, we'll pray for you as well. A quick intention that came in here. This person says, would you please pray for a man? My son knows. He was found unconscious in his home. His blood sugar was at 30. He's stable now, but obviously needs more prayers. And we'll certainly lift him up. Another person wrote to me and says, Drew, thanks for the ministry. I've been praying the chapel with you over a year. I've been unemployed for 16 months. And guess what? I have finally gotten a part-time teaching job at a local university. It's been very difficult. I'm living by myself with no close relatives. I was laid off during COVID. I need prayers for this work so that it will turn into something permanent. It seems that age and a lot of education makes it worse to find something. I pray for you every night. Hey, thank you, doctor. I'll leave your name anonymous, but we'll pray. Here's a woman who has got her PhD. You can't get the work. And it's crazy that employers, and I really do believe there's a thing called ageism. I do think there's discrimination both against age and your education level. If I was an employer and somebody had that experience and somebody had that level of degree, yeah, you're going to be a top contender. Yet today we know that that's not the case. So I do want to play for those who are underemployed, struggling financially, unemployed, looking for work. It's hard. It really is. It's hard out there. My producer, Tom, sent over an intention today, too. There was a person he knows named Doug Reinhardt who died last night in his sleep. It was a friend of his, and he says, could you pray for his widow, Beth, and also for the repose of the soul of Vince? He was a young father who had a heart condition, had an episode while driving, and as a result of it, he was killed in a car accident. He left behind his wife and five young children. Man, we do not know the day or the hour. So let's pray. Let's pray right now. I'm joined by my colleague, Jim. He's praying with me. Jim, good to have you back. Good afternoon.
Always good to be here with you, Drew.
I love that voice. I always say that to you when you're on. Anything you want to pray for?
Yeah, I'd like to pray for my entire family. I'd also especially like to lift up my mom and my two brothers who have been battling COVID this week. They seem to be getting better, but we just want them to be at the top of their game, hopefully here real soon.
Yeah, no, it's serious stuff. It can always turn. So we'll pray for their protection and for their healing. All right, let's pray. We'll do it right now. I want to pray for Relevant, too, and I want to pray in particular for our pledge drive next week. And, you know, I will come to you. I'm going to ask next week. If you could prayerfully consider, when I make that ask, helping, I would appreciate it. I would love it. It just says to me, we value the chaplet, Drew. We love what you're doing here. And if you can, just pray, okay? Next week, we got a big pledge drive. The economy's kind of tough, and I know God always provides, so I don't really worry about it. And one final thing before I pray, and my apologies, I don't want to take up too much time here, but Relevant wants to do something for you, and I've been telling you about this. We're praying a novena. It starts the 2nd of November, which is just next Tuesday. You still have an opportunity to get in. Just go to relevantradio.com/souls, right? And do this. Put the names of your loved ones, your parents, your children, your siblings, your aunts, uncles, grandparents, whoever it might be, friends. I think of this person who just died unexpectedly. Let's get their name on this list. And we're going to do a 9-day novena. So there'll be prayer all throughout the day for that soul. And believe me, that soul will rejoice in the grace that's going to flow and the power of the Mass that'll be prayed at 12 noon and the chaplet with you and me here at 3 Central and the rosary with Father Rocky at 7 p.m. Central. So join us for that 9-day novena if you haven't registered yet. And I know time gets by. I'm just putting it back on your radar. In the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit.
Amen. Amen.
You expired, Jesus, but the source of life gushed forth for souls, and the ocean of mercy opened up for the whole world. O font of life, unfathomable divine mercy, envelop the whole world and empty yourself out upon us. O blood and water, which gushed forth from the heart of Jesus as a fountain of mercy for us.
I trust in you.
O blood and water, which gushed forth from the heart of Jesus as a fountain of mercy for us.
I trust in you.
O blood and water, which gushed forth from the heart of Jesus as a fountain of mercy for us.
I trust in you.
Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven.
Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. Amen.
Hail Mary, full of grace, the Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou among women, and blessed is the fruit of thy womb, Jesus.
Holy Mary, Mother of God, pray for us sinners, now and at the hour of our death. Amen.
And I believe in God, the Father Almighty, the Creator of heaven and earth, and in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit and was born of the Virgin Mary. He suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, died, and was buried. He descended into hell on the third day. He rose again from the dead. He ascended into heaven and is seated at the right hand of God the Father Almighty. From there he will come to judge the living and the dead.
I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and life everlasting. Amen.
Amen. Our first call comes from Joanne, praying with us in Minnesota. Joanne, good afternoon.
Hi. Thank you for taking my call.
You're welcome.
My prayer request is for the Choose Life Idaho Special License Plate Program. Funds raised from this program will assist women, pregnant women who are making an adoption plan for their preborn baby. And Idaho law requires that 1,000 plates be purchased by the end of the year, or the program's going to be discontinued. There are also quotas for the next 2 years. So my prayer request is that everybody listening in Idaho and everyone that knows someone in Idaho will encourage them to purchase a plate so this program continues. It is so vital for the unborn. So may God in his divine mercy grant this request.
I love that prayer. Joanne, thank you. I'm glad you got through. So, and I'm assuming they just go to the DMV to register for that special life license plate, right?
They can, or they can go to ChooseLifeIdaho.org.
All right, ChooseLifeIdaho.org. That's ChooseLifeIdaho.org. We can all do our part, large and small. If you're in Idaho listening, please, or you have family there, tell them to do it. Small little investment and a great witness to the cause of life. Lord, this is a prayer to end the culture of death. I know you gave the chaplet to St. Faustina. It mitigated that angel of wrath. And I turn to you now once again. I know how this has moved your heart, how it disengaged that angel. And I pray right now for life in this country, for the conversion of our world leaders, those who are advancing this particular agenda. Pray for the conversion of hearts of those in the industry. I pray for the healing of those who've made the mistake of abortion. And I pray for those who are working to help others, especially mothers and who are involved in campaigns like this. So I just give you this cause. I know you hear this. I know this is in accordance with your will. And I thank you for the good that's coming from this prayer as I turn to you. Eternal Father, I offer you the body, blood, soul, and divinity of your dearly beloved Son, our Lord Jesus Christ.
In atonement for our sins and those of the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion,
have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion,
have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion,
have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion,
have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion,
have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion,
have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion,
have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion,
have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion,
have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion,
have mercy on us and on the whole world.
All right, we'll go to California next. Jesus is praying with us there. Good afternoon, Jesus.
Good afternoon, Drew. Just thank you for your time. Thank you for your ministry. Just want to have my prayer intentions for family members that are, you know, fighting and battling cancer, prostate cancer, leukemia, including myself, neck cancer, recurring from surgery. And then a cousin of mine just got a liver transplant, so I think he's recovering, but just say he gets better soon. And then one of my uncles just had a heart attack, so everybody's predicting recover. And then a good friend, George, fighting COVID in the hospital. So just pray your intentions for people to get better and healthier, and so everybody can keep our faith.
Yeah, well, thank you for calling in. A lot of sickness in the family, huh, Jesus? Let's pray for you right now, okay? We'll ask for God's healing touch. And Heavenly Father, I thank you for your mercy. Merciful Savior, we know throughout the scriptures how you healed, how you restored, how you brought back to life. And I just pray for the family of Jesus and all those right now who have ailments, chronic back pain, who are battling cancer, who have migraines or vision problems or arthritis or issues of the blood, leukemia, Lord, whatever it may be, cardiac problems, those who are in ICU, those who are now in the process of recovering. And I ask you, be the hands of the surgeons who will be performing these procedures. And a friend of mine who I pray with, he asked me to pray for his friend Eric, who's having a procedure. I'm going to lift him up too, and for his recovery, and just give you these intentions. And I pray for healing on this particular decade as I turn to you once again. Eternal Father, I offer you the body, blood, soul, and divinity of your dearly beloved Son, our Lord Jesus Christ,
in atonement for our sins and those of the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion,
have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion,
have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion,
have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion,
have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion,
have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion,
have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion,
have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion,
have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion,
have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion,
have mercy on us and on the whole world.
All right, Margaret Mary, my faithful producer here, is on Twitter. You can put your intentions there at Drew Mariani Show. I hope you'll do that. And email me, drew@relevantradio.com. Mags, what is happening? Who can we pray for?
Well, we got an email earlier today. I wanted to mention this first before I got to Twitter. Scott, a good friend of Relevant Radio, is going to Mayo Clinic for the next 2 weeks straight every day for testing to see if he is strong enough and healthy enough for a lung transplant. So let's pray that he is. From Twitter, though, we do have a couple of prayer intentions. We have Carmela, who's asking for prayers for her mom, Rosemary. She said, "We're at the emergency room right now and don't have any answers." Therese asked for prayers. She said, "Drew, can you pray for my son, Matt, today? He was electrocuted 2 years ago, and today he's starting a new job. Please pray that his employer and that the people that he works with are kind and understanding." She also wants to pray for a friend, Kay, who is dying of uterine cancer. Robin's asking for prayers. She says, "Please pray for my husband's soul and his family. Today is the 9th anniversary of his entrance into the afterlife." She said, "Thank you and bless you for your ministry." And she's also praying for Timory and Timory's mom, who's dealing with COVID. And then lastly, Annette's asking for prayers for her son, Dan. He's a nurse. He's 29 and battling lung cancer. She said it's going to be 3 years this Christmas. So she says he's got an oncologist visit this afternoon, and we pray it goes well.
Well, thank you, Margaret. I appreciate it. Pray for Maggie's intentions. And yeah, Bob Tabali came to mind. He's an infectious disease doctor who's contributed to this radio program all throughout the pandemic and beyond. And I want to lift up Bob and pray for his intentions. Nancy is praying with us in Anaheim, and we'll add her to all these intentions. Nancy, good afternoon.
Hi, good afternoon, Drew. Thank you for taking my call.
Yes,
I would like to pray for an 11-year-old little girl. Her name is Jocelyn. She's battling cancer, and her parents or the doctors have told the family there's nothing more they could do. So right now they're just kind of waiting hour by hour to see what will happen next. And we're basically just, you know, waiting for God's grace and mercy for a miracle. And also, I'd like to add my coworker's mom was also been given weeks left, also battling cancer. And one of my sister's coworker's mom, who was recently diagnosed with stomach cancer, was also basically told she's only surely has a short time as well. So I'd like to pray for all those intentions and for their families.
Right. Well, Nancy, thank you. Let's pray for you, too. I know you probably have a lot of personal intentions. We'll bring them to the table, too. I know the Lord knows your heart. Tragic intentions, though. Wow, an 11-year-old girl. And the doctors say there's nothing more they can do. Oh, I can't even imagine the pain, the anguish of those parents. And Lord, I pray for this little girl. And when the doctors say there's nothing else that they can do, I know there is a lot you can do. And with a touch, she can be restored. And I think of Diary Entry 420, where the Lord told Faustina, he said to her, every soul believing and trusting in my mercy will obtain it. And Lord, I ask for your mercy on this family. I pray, though, also, because I know cancer sometimes is a doorway into eternal life, into union with you. And I do pray for those you'll call home today, those who you will use cancer as a means to draw them home. Lord, I pray for sanctification and holiness, submission to your will. But Lord, I also just pray for that healing, and I bring to you the sick today. And as a result of our united prayer, trusting in your mercy, I ask for your divine touch as we pray. Eternal Father, I offer you the body and blood, the soul and divinity of your dearly beloved Son, our Lord Jesus Christ.
In atonement for our sins and those of the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
All right, Jim, let's go to Tom. He's praying in Arizona. Hi, Tom. Good afternoon.
Hey, hi, Drew. I've called you before. I live in Payson, Arizona. We have a Catholic radio station, which is actually right next door to my business. And the other day, our engineer, John, had a tragic bicycle accident, and he has had a couple surgeries, and he might potentially become, incapacitated for this, but I hope he recovers. And his wife is blind, so she depends on him for everything. And I'd just like to pray for John. And also a friend of mine whose daughter is daughter and son-in-law, and some of her grandkids are really have been battling some kind of illness. And I'd like to pray for them also.
You got it. Let's pray for you, too. All right?
We'll
lift up your intentions. And Maggie, open your microphone. As Tom called in here about this accident, did we just get somebody write in the other day for that?
Yeah, it was yesterday. Someone tweeted us about this, and I think it was yesterday I read it over the air. Yeah, so he must be well-loved.
Yeah, he certainly is. Well, thanks, Maggie. Thank you, Tom, for bringing this intention. But I pray for those who are having ambulatory problems, those facing paralysis, those facing amputation, Lord, those struck by tragedy and accident. I pray for those who are dependent upon those individuals as well. And I give you all of these intentions, Tom, put forward. I unite them to all who are now praying with me. And we just come to that ocean of your mercy. Lord, I give you these souls. I immerse them in that mercy. And I thank you for the way that you are putting in the motion the answer to our prayers. Eternal Father, I offer you the body, blood, soul, and divinity of your dearly beloved Son, our Lord Jesus Christ.
In atonement for our sins and those of the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
Let me see, maybe I can grab a call or two here. A few calls in this last deck. And Marge is in Burnsville, Minnesota, praying with us. Hi, Marge.
Hi, Drew. I would like prayers for our granddaughter, Maddie, who's in the hospital with anorexia, and she's resisting eating, and they might have to put a feeding tube in. And I'm just praying for hope and healing for her, and then also for a dear friend, Cassie, who's having eye surgery on Monday. These are the prayers.
Well, thank you, Marge. We'll pray for those. And I do want to pray for anyone with anorexia or bulimia or any sort of body dysmorphia or any sort of ailment, anybody who self-harms, mutilates. But I just ask for the healing, those struggling with anxiety, those with suicidal ideations, Lord, those with depression. Lord, I do pray for healing. And I pray for no feeding tube for this girl. I pray that our prayers from this moment forward begin to bring the healing that she needs so deep and so internally. I know Tony is listening in Santa Ana, California's niece has an addiction to fentanyl and is dying. And I want to pray in particular for that intention. Maggie, the audio is not good on that call, though, you're telling me, right? All right, we'll have to come back to that. Adina, Mississippi, or Dinah, I'm not quite sure how it's pronounced. Sandy, good afternoon.
Oh, hi, Drew. My niece, who's in her 50s, had emergency brain surgery this morning for a tumor, and we don't know if it's benign or malignant. So my prayer intention is for her to have a benign tumor and Amen. For complete healing, including resolution of the cognitive difficulties that she urgently had.
I love it. All right, we're going to bring that before the merciful Lord. Sandy, I'm glad you got through, and I'm glad you're listening to us there in Mississippi. I'll sneak Marilyn into trying to get a few extra calls in today for everyone. Marilyn, good afternoon.
Hi, Drew. I'm blessed that I got through to you. I want to pray for my friend Angel at my Catholic church, who has stomach cancer, and his daughter, his youngest daughter, Eliani, who is pregnant with her first child and has stomach cancer, and she's about 30 weeks pregnant.
Oh, no,
we want that baby to come to preterm and no cancer.
So the pregnant mother also has cancer, you're telling me, right?
His daughter. His daughter
his
has.
His daughter.
Yes.
Oh my gosh!
Yes,
how tragic.
His daughter Eliani.
All right. Well, let's pray. Let's pray believing. All right, let's pray believing for these miracles. You know, the Lord says, souls that make an appeal to my mercy, delight me. To those souls, I grant even more graces than they ask. So, Lord, I just come before you, making that appeal to your mercy. You promise that souls believing and trusting in your mercy will obtain it. So, with confidence, I come to you now, and I bring to you all of those who have made it to air, all those who are now on hold with me, all those who are united with me in prayer, wherever they may be, all those who've written. Lord, I give you my own intentions. You know what they are. And we implore your mercy as we pray. Eternal Father, I offer you the body, blood, soul, and divinity of your dearly beloved Son, our Lord Jesus Christ.
In atonement for our sins and those of the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
for the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
Holy God, holy mighty one, holy immortal one.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
Holy God, holy mighty one, holy immortal one.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
Holy God, holy mighty one, holy immortal one.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
Eternal God, in whom mercy is endless and the treasury of compassion inexhaustible, please look kindly upon us and increase your mercy in us so that in difficult moments, we may not despair nor become despondent, but with great confidence submit ourselves to your holy will, which is love and mercy itself. Jesus, I trust in you. Jesus, I trust in you. Jesus, I trust in you. Our Lady Queen of Heaven,
pray for us.
Our Lady of Good Help,
pray for us.
Mother of Mercy,
pray for us.
Our Lady of Guadalupe,
pray for us.
Virgin Most Powerful,
pray for us.
Saint Joseph,
pray for us.
Saint Faustina,
pray for us.
Saint John Paul II,
pray for us.
Saint Peregrine, patron saint of cancer,
pray for us.
Saint Jose Maria Escriva,
pray for us.
Saint Patrick,
pray for us.
Blessed Michael Sopochko,
pray for us.
All you holy souls in purgatory,
pray for us.
And all you angels and saints,
pray for us.
In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
Amen. Thank you so much for praying with me. Feel free to send us your intentions at Twitter or here, you know, at the relevant radio network, or email me. Be sure and join me every day. Tell others about this prayer, okay? Let's continue to pray for each other. And then get back to me, too, because I know that God hears these prayers. I cannot tell you how convinced I am of the fruit of this prayer. So when you get those answered prayers, email me, drew@relevantradio.com, drew@relevantradio.com. Just in the byline, in the memo, say answered prayer, and then just tell me what the answered prayer is. You know, write a couple sentences, a couple paragraphs, whatever you want. They bless me, they inspire me, and they're a real witness to the great mercy of God. I'll be right back.
The hope lives here. The Drew Mariani Show on Relevant Radio.
Catholic Order of Foresters is proud to sponsor the Relevant Radio Studio line. For information about employment opportunities and flexible premium life insurance plans, visit relevantradio.com/forester.
Then, looking attentively at the figure of our Lord, Jacinta asked, "Why is our Lord nailed to a cross like that?" Lucia replied, "Because he died for us." "Tell me how it happened," Jacinta asked. Lucia answered as best as she could. When Jacinta heard of the sufferings of our Lord, she was moved to tears. From then on, she often asked Lucia to tell it to her all over again. She would weep and grieve, saying, "Our poor, dear Lord, I'll never sin again. I don't want our Lord to suffer anymore."
The Drew Mariani Show on Relevant Radio.
Yeah, you know, Jacinta Marta is a great clip that Maggie had pulled. She died alone. She was one of the seers in Fatima. She was one of the three visionaries that the Mother of God appeared to in 1917. This is a very poor shepherd child, if you would. I mean, she took care of the family's flock. Her Francisco Marto and Jacinta Marto both died very young. And her family, her well-wishers, couldn't be with her because of the pandemic. That imposed restrictions on the time. And the one thing that she wanted to do before she died was the Eucharist. But even that was denied to her. It sounds familiar to our own time, doesn't it? It really does. There's such incredible parallels to the pandemic of 1918 and the pandemic of our own day. It's been 100 years now, I think, since she died, 101 years, something like that. And it was so much we can learn from her, and especially Francisco had such deep love of the Eucharist. I want to talk a little bit about that today. Yeah, I was also thinking of the parallels. It's weird how things reoccur, right? Another weird parallel, you know, think about this. A deadly plague enters Italy from China, right? And then it quickly spreads to the rest of Europe. The Roman Catholic Church, you know, perhaps is racked by division. There's questions concerning the Pope, surveys, you know, a very bleak landscape. The Holy Father stands separated from his flock. The eternal city's isolated. He holds services apart from the people of Rome, carrying his cross alone. Meanwhile, the death toll mounts. No one knows when it will end. What year was I just describing? And the answer is not 2020, not 2021. I'll give you half credit because it does sound like our own time. The year that I was referring to is the year 1347. And there was another saint, Saint Catherine of Siena, like Francisco and Jacinta Marto, who faced a plague. Saint Catherine of Siena, Saint Caterina, that was her name. She was born the 23rd and I think of 25 children or some huge family there, right? And she arrived the year of the plague. It was Black Death that arrived in Italy. And the parallel from China to Italy to Europe to the problems that we're seeing right now, they seem almost eerie that they are so close. Now, some historians debate the precise origins of the pandemic that hit Europe in 1347, but I think they universally agree that the virus emanated from or near China. And I think of these great saints and what they had in common and what we can learn from them today. And they had a love, they had a devotion for the Eucharist. And it sustained them. And it ultimately, it'll sustain you. I think this is something that too many Catholics have abandoned. You know, the bishops of the United States are going to be meeting in Baltimore. I talked a little bit about this in my first hour with Ed Condon from The Pillar. Part of their discussion is going to be on a document about the Eucharist. Unfortunately, a lot of Catholics today don't really understand what this is all about. You know, there was a poll done by Pew Research back in 2019, you know, 2 years ago maybe. They found that 69% of Catholics believe that it's just a symbol of Christ's body and blood. We talk about this number always vacillates, right? It's 70%, it's 73%, 69%. Bottom line, it's ridiculous, right? That only 30%, 31% believe that the Eucharist is indeed truly the body, the blood, the soul, the divinity of Jesus Christ. And that's the source and summit of our faith. That's Catholicism 101. And yet 7 out of 10 Catholics say, oh, I'm not quite sure. It's a symbol, right? And look, that is consistent with polling that has been done, not just in 2019, but over the past 3 decades. We're seeing this decline in the number of Catholics who actually believe what the church teaches. So we are living in very unique times. I think we need to turn to Catherine of Siena. I think we need to turn to those powerful Fatima seers. And we need to learn our faith. We need to live our faith. We as Catholics need to know the truth of the Eucharist. And you need to pray for your bishops because that's their duty. That's the task of the bishop, right? There's a great bishop, Bishop Andrew Cousins, who's working right now bringing about a Eucharistic revival. I'm going to support him strongly in the days ahead. I'm going to support my own bishop. I hope you'll do the same thing. He and his brother bishops are going to need the help because, you know, this is going to be a spiritual thing too, just like the culture of death where we see the battle raging, right? So as laity, you can really help animate and bring to life this campaign through your prayers or your sacrifices, and especially through your fasting. That'll disengage the evil one. But we can't underestimate these things. Prayer, fasting, offering of sacrifices, those are actions that the church recommends and has recommended for centuries, but also Our Lady in so many of her apparition sites around the world. She's appeared in every habitable continent across the centuries. She calls us to the same thing, to prayer and to fasting. So we got to stop being lazy. spiritually speaking, right? We've got to start to build our spiritual muscles. We've got to spend time in prayer. The one who prays, she said, does not fear the future. When you pray, you do not fear the future. When you fast, you do not fear evil. That's what happens. You become liberated, you become empowered, you become emboldened. That's what we need to do. It's, you know, Our Lady, when she appeared in Fatima to Saint, you know, Jacinta, these kids who were 9 and 10 years old, they took on these incredibly harsh penances. They give away their lunch. They wouldn't drink water all day. They'd sleep with a coarse rope tied around their waist. They did unbelievable things. Of course, she died from the Spanish flu that was raging around the time, and she suffered terribly. You know, while she was sick, she offered it up for sinners. And I think of your own sickness right now, your own trial you're going through. Offer it up. Offer it up for somebody most in need of it. Offer it up for the church. I've invited today Dr. Brian Thatcher to join me. He's a gastroenterologist, and I love him. His story is such a great story. This guy, I have a mutual friend, and we talk about him a lot. We say, this guy's going right to heaven. He's a saint. He'll disagree with me, of course, because he's humble. But he left his practice in medicine. You know, very lucrative, very profitable, very prestigious surgeon. And he had everything the world could offer him. But he felt called to spread divine mercy. And he founded a great organization. It's called the Eucharistic Apostles of Divine Mercy. And you can find them online. Just go to divinemercy.org/EADM. It'll bring you to his website. And I think he also has another website. I'll get that for me. I think it's Mercy Abandoned. He's going to join me in a second here. We'll get that. But he's been involved in doing some really, I think, great corporal works of mercy, too. He's been gathering medical supplies, putting them on large shipping containers, and shipping them to the poor overseas. I had the opportunity to touch base with him yesterday, and I said, Brian, why don't you come on the show today? Let's talk. So he said, sure. And he joins me today. Good to have you with me, Doctor. Always a delight.
Drew, it's great to be on the show again, and thank you so much for having me.
Well, I'm delighted to have you here. You're one of the great champions of Divine Mercy. You've been promoting it for decades, ever, even before it became as popular and as well known as it is today. And I'm so grateful for your personal witness, you know, serving the Lord and putting that as a priority above all things else. I love it. You know, I was reflecting on the time we're in. You're a physician. And, you know, you see the ravages of COVID. And then I see the parallels of what happened in Fatima, the great Spanish flu. You go back to the time of St. Catherine of Siena, and you see the same type of parallels to what's happened, how the flu spread and the trials in the church. And what do you make of where we are today? And how essential is the Eucharist in all of this?
Well, you know, Drew, I'm so on the same page with you in the sense that we have to do better in educating people about the real presence, about the Blessed Mother, about the gift and the beauty and sanctity of all human life, and life is sacred. And if we just look at people like Catherine of Siena and Saint Jacinta, history repeats itself, and if we don't learn from the past, we're doomed to repeat it. And St. Faustina, every one of them loved the Eucharist. I had the opportunity 25 years ago to go to Siena and the Church of St. Catherine, and there was a Eucharistic miracle there in the Middle Ages. It was called the Miracle of the Incorrupt Host. They were celebrating, I think, the Feast of the Ascension, and the priest realized that somebody had broken into the tabernacle and stole all the host. Well, 3 days they searched, and finally they found him stuffed in the poor box. So they waited and waited and waited for these hosts. Now, you're talking hundreds of years ago. They never deteriorated, and popes and cardinals would taste them 25 years later, and they said it tasted as fresh as the day it was made. They didn't have preservatives back then. They call it the miracle of the incorrupt host. So that's St. Catherine. Jacinta and the little children, they were prepared to see Jesus in the Eucharist and receive the Eucharist by the archangels, and we talk about Faustina. She loved the Blessed Sacrament. She added to her name Maria Faustina of the Most Blessed Sacrament. Years ago, someone said to me, you know, the name of your ministry is redundant, Eucharistic Apostles of Divine Mercy. And I looked at them and I said, you're exactly right. The same Jesus that's in the image is the same Jesus that's in the Eucharist. And Faustina saw the rays coming from the image from Jesus' pierced heart, but also from the monstrance. And they radiated out to the people in the pews and then throughout to the world. And so there's this common thread of the Eucharist, and yet they all suffered. Faustina suffered from advanced tuberculosis. It was undiagnosed. I read and reread her diary so many times, and I could feel her pain because I've seen a case of advanced tuberculosis in the intestines, and it's terrible. She wished she could die. The pain was so bad. Jacinta, her story is amazing. Here's this little girl who told the Blessed Mother that she'd stay on earth to suffer, reparation for sin, and she got the swine flu, she got the flu pandemic, and she ended up developing pneumonia, which is so common today from COVID. And her mother, they were very poor, as you mentioned. They were taken from Fatima to Lisbon and put in the hospital. She wasn't getting any better. The doctors were so afraid she was going to die that they wanted to kind of drain her lungs and open it up and hopefully help her lungs expand, but they didn't want to give her anesthesia, so they actually cut out a rib bone under just local anesthetic, like lidocaine, which, if you think about it, that just numbs the skin up. They were down deep into the muscle and actually cutting bone, and I can't imagine the pain she had. And the doctor, who was an atheist, said the whole time, all she said was, "Oh, my Jesus, oh, my Jesus," and she offered it up. And the doctor, as I said, was an atheist. Now, this room she was in with other people who had contracted the disease, it smelled of infection. It was reeking of odor. And after she died, there was the smell of roses. But you also said she didn't receive the Eucharist, and that was an interesting story because the Blessed Mother had told her when she was going to die. And the day before, she pleaded with the priest to come the next day and give communion, but he didn't. He said, "You're going to be fine, you're going to be fine." And she died alone. No mother there, no Eucharist.
I'll tell you what, Doctor, hold the thought. I have to take a short pause. When we come back, we'll talk more. If you want to get in, you can join us too. 888-914-9149. More straight ahead.
Catholic Order of Foresters is proud to sponsor the Relevant Radio Studio line. For information about employment opportunities and flexible premium life insurance plans, visit relevantradio.com/Forester.
The Drew Mariani Show on Relevant Radio.
Well, good afternoon and welcome. It's so good to be with you today. So good just to talk about our faith and get a lot of hope. From the saints, from those who've gone before us, a great hope, no matter how dark it seems economically or with pandemics raging, that life continues on. You and I were created to live forever. And I'm inspired by friends, by colleagues, by people who share that same worldview. And I'm joined today by one of those. Dr. Brian Thatcher joins me. He's a gastroenterologist who left practice to spread the devotion to divine mercy. And as you heard him say, he read the diary of Faustina multiple times. You could feel her pain. And the life story of St. Faustina is one of those shining examples of what true devotion to the Holy Eucharist or the Blessed Sacrament really is about. And Faustina had profound, deep, deep devotion to it. When she was a child, she would get her chores done, get up extra early just so she could go to Mass. And, of course, she had many Eucharistic encounters, you know, with the Lord, everything from adoration to, things the Lord told her about his true presence. And, Doctor, it's good to have you with us. Let's pick it up on that. I know you are a champion of divine mercy. I know you love St. Faustina as much as I do. I think there's so much we can learn about her devotion to the Eucharist and what was taught to her.
Well, you know, Drew, the other thing she had was this deep, deep trust in God, and she just loved the Lord, and I think that's what we can learn as well, that in spite of life's adversities, all that's going on here with the economy, with the inflation, with the immigration crisis, with the religious crisis, and on it goes, is that she trusted in the Lord, and it's such a beautiful thing. Even in her lowest moments, she realized place her trust in the Lord, and God's will was paramount. In one page in her diary, she put a big X and says, "No longer does my will exist." And she realized that Jesus was all about love. And throughout her diary, she just, it's incredible what the Lord told her and also the spiritual inspiration she received. And she's just a holy, holy person and such a role model for anyone. And the crazy thing is, Drew, she was uneducated. You know, when I was struggling, I mean, you talk about me perhaps being a holy person, but I'm telling you, that couldn't be farther from the truth. I mean, pray for my conversion. 25 years ago, 30 years ago, I was really struggling and was not even in the right game, let alone the position or the field. And I had it all materialistically, but I had nothing. And I went to Our Lady Guadalupe in Mexico City and realized all these poor people were happy and laughing and eating their tacos and burritos, and here I was, this rich American, crying my eyes out. I had nothing. We're lost today. We need to get on our knees and say, "Jesus, help me. I don't know who you are, but I know you're there somewhere. Listen to me. Please help me get back on track, because we are off track." And this whole divine mercy is really more than just a bunch of prayers or a feast day once a year or an image we hang in our house. It's about love. Jesus told her, "I am love and mercy itself." And he wants us to understand that he loves the person right where they're at. That's what, when I realized that, that was such a big revelation. Man, God loves me right where I am, even in all my miserableness and brokenness. And I just turned to him and said, "Help me grow." I read the diary, as you said, and I loved it, and I wanted to share it with everybody. And that resulted in forming manuals, making manuals of going through the diary systematically with objectives and goals and questions for people who may want to do the same. And we had our first little Divine Mercy prayer group here outside Tampa 28 years ago. And now there's thousands in the United States, and we have prayer groups in 45 countries. But it's nothing I did. Wow. It's what the Lord did, and he wants this message of mercy out, that we have to forgive each other and love each other.
I love it. And Brian, I know you do a lot. There's another website you have. I can't remember it off the top of my head. I know your website, if people want to learn your story, get in touch with you, listen to some of the things that you do, your podcast, et cetera. DrBrianThatcher.com, right? Is that correct?
DR for doctor, no period. DR right. Brian, BRYAN Thatcher, THATCHER.com. And
what's the other one? I thought there was one, Abandoned Mercy or Mercy Abandoned.
No, that's the series on DrBrianThatcher.com is called Mercy Unbound.
Wow. And what's that all about?
Well, the aim of the show is exactly what I heard before I got on from Relevant Radio, to bring hope to a hurting world, to help people heal, and then understand and live the great mercy of God. That's why I think it's so important of the work you're doing in Relevant Radio, because people are dying and perishing because of lack of knowledge. And I know that's why you love your work, because every day you get to share with people about an aspect of the faith. And that's what people need to hear. And that's what we try and do in our prayer groups. But it's all about divine mercy and then living the message of mercy. It's not just a devotion.
Here's the thing. We're all in this together. I mean, I think we were all chosen to live at this moment in time. God calls us all to different ministries, but we're all to serve the same master. And that's Jesus Christ. And I think we need greater unity than we do division, and I think that's what the Lord calls us to. So I'm so grateful when I see people spread devotion to Divine Mercy. I'm grateful when I see people do other radio programs or podcasts. I'm so grateful to see how God is at work in the life of this country. Brian, I only have about a minute, maybe two left for you. I want to bring one other thing up. I was talking about life a little bit earlier today, and you know, we have hanging in the chapel here at Relevant Radio, the Chapel of Nativity, that apostolic blessing given by John Paul II. And can you tell everyone a little bit about that, how they can get that as well, by praying for an end to the culture of death, particularly the chaplain?
Well, as you know, the promises were that the Lord told her if she prayed the chaplet in the presence of the dying, that he would be there as the merciful Savior and not as a just judge. So that's the Jesus I want to see, the God of mercy. But we asked the Holy Father, what if you're not at the bedside? And he asked his theologians, and they all came back with the same answer. In the eternal now, everything is present. You don't have to be at the bedside. And Pope John Paul in 1999, already 22 years ago, said, will you help spread people praying the chaplet of divine mercy, especially during Eucharistic adoration? And he imparted a special blessing on those that do, as well as for those sick and dying in that hour, trusting in the Lord that the promises would be there. We made copies of it, and wow. If they ask their pastor if they can hang it or display it during Eucharistic adoration, we'll be happy to send them the blessing. They can call me on our toll-free, and I'll give them that, 1-877-380-0727. And we want people praying the chaplet. People say, oh, I didn't pray it at 3 o'clock. Well, the Lord never told her to pray it at 3 o'clock. Right. He said, pray it unceasingly. And yep. We pray it all the time.
Well, Brian, keep up your wonderful work. We'll talk some more. Let me give you that number. It's 877. It's toll-free. 380-0727. 380-0727. What a beautiful blessing. If I had more time, we could talk about what Faustina encountered and why this is such an incredible prayer. Also, check out drbrianthatcher.com. That's his website. We'll catch up soon, Doctor. Thank you for your
time.
Always good
to
have you here.
God bless.
All right, I'm up against the clock. Your news and headlines are straight ahead. And then when we return, you're going to want to listen to this. We'll be joined by, Father Damaris. And we'll talk Halloween, the occult, and all that's unfolding this weekend. Stay with me.